Harper Children's Audio presents Big Nate in a Class by Himself by Lincoln Pierce. Performed by Fred Berman. Copyright 2010 by United Feature Syndicate, Inc. Production copyright 2010 by HarperCollins Publishers. Chapter 1. In what year was the 14th Amendment to the Constitution ratified? Could have called on anybody. There were 22 other kids in the classroom, and they all had their hands in the air. Francis did. Teddy did. Gina did, of course. Even Nick Blonsky, who usually sits in the back row with his pencil up his nose, had his hand raised. She could have called on one of them, right? Guess who she calls on?
Nate! Yep!
Mrs. Godfrey always does this. She always calls on me when I don't know the answer. And she can tell I don't know it. Ever hear somebody say that dogs can smell fear? That's Mrs. Godfrey. She's like a dog. A big, ugly, nasty dog. I sort of scooch down in my seat. The whole class is staring at me. My ears start to burn. Then my cheeks. I can feel tiny droplets of sweat beading up on my forehead.
Well?
She barks. What was the question again? I've heard that on an average day you use about 10% of your brain power. Well, sitting here with my mouth turning as dry as a sack of sand, I really need that other 90% to kick in. But my mind is blank. Mrs. Godfrey steps away from the chalkboard and starts toward me. She looks mad. No, worse than mad. She looks mean. Her face is flushed. I can see tiny flecks of spittle at the corners of her mouth. That's pretty gross. I brace myself. And then, the bell rings, and keeps on ringing. Except it doesn't really sound like the school bell. It sounds more like... ring! Whap! I was dreaming. I blink hard, then let out a huge sigh of relief. I've never been so happy to hear that alarm clock in my entire life. Not that I'm ready to get up or anything. Closing my eyes again, I flop back down onto my pillow.
Time to go to school.
Nab! Foof!
Hey, thanks a lot, Dad. Way to break it to me gently. Nice parenting. Actually, his parenting skills aren't that bad. He makes the nastiest tuna casserole you've ever tasted. But he's pretty harmless, especially compared to some of the psycho dads I've seen at Little League games. It's just that... that's kind of clueless. He has no idea what it's like to be me. Parental fact. Once you go bald, you completely lose your ability to relate to anyone under the age of 30. I mean, how long has it been since he was in middle school? 30 or 40 years? I think he's forgotten how it feels to be held prisoner all day long in a building that smells like a combination of chalk dust, ammonia, and mystery meat. He can't remember what it's like to be an average sixth grader. Not that I'm an average sixth grader. Okay, I'll admit that I'm not exactly Joe Honor Roll, but answer me this. When I get out there in the real world, is anybody going to care whether or not I know who was vice president under Warren G. Harding? And don't try to pretend that you know who it was, because you don't. The point is, I want to use my talents for more than just memorizing useless facts. I'm meant for bigger things. I am destined for greatness. I'm still not 100% sure what kind of greatness I'm destined for, but I'll figure it out. I've got options. I keep a list on my closet door about this very subject. Could achieve greatness in 1. Soccer. I'm the goalie for our middle school team. 2. music. Enslave the Mollusk, the band I started with Francis, Teddy, and Artur, rocks. 3, cartooning. I specialize in caricatures of teachers. 4, table football. I'm awesome at it, but it might be a tough way to make a living. There's also stuff I definitely won't achieve greatness in, like opera, synchronized swimming, and cat grooming. Enough said. Let's get back to the unfortunate fact that today's a school day. But what kind? You know, not all school days are created equal. You can rank them by category. Just so you know, I'm really into ranking stuff. One time, I spent a solid week ranking every kind of snack food I could think of. At the top, cheese doodles. At the bottom, rice cakes. Dad fact. Dad handed out rice cakes for Halloween one year. That was also the year our house got egged. Connect the dots, Dad.
Here you go, kids.
What the?
If I were to grade the different kinds of school days report card style, here's how they'd stack up. A+. Field trip days. I'm not talking about lame field trips when a teacher makes you walk around the neighborhood on Earth Day picking up trash. I'm talking about an all-day get-on-a-bus-and-go-somewhere field trip. Even if they give you a worksheet in the hope that you might actually learn something, you can usually come up with an excuse not to do it. That's what I did last year when we went to the aquarium. Walrus ate my homework. B. Special events day. This is when classroom time gets eaten up by something better, like a movie or an assembly. Or, better yet, some sort of emergency. Last spring, Mrs. Chirwicky's wig caught on fire and set off the smoke alarm in the faculty lounge. We got to evacuate the building and ended up playing Ultimate Frisbee on the lawn for an hour. That was awesome! For everybody except Mrs. Chirwicky. I should be in math right now! C-. Substitute teacher days. I think we can all agree that subs are almost always better than the real teachers. By better, I mean more clueless. The absolute best subs are the fresh out of college ones who have never taught a day in their lives. Frankly, they're not very bright. Or maybe they're just really gullible. You know, the word gullible isn't in the dictionary.
It's not?
But Mr. Galvin always lets us chew gum in class.
Okay, carry on.
D. Normal days. Unfortunately, most days are like this. You spend 6.5 action-packed hours studying subjects like photosynthesis and the War of 1812. Thrilling. You get home after school and your parents are like,
"What did you learn in school today?"
And you think about it for a solid 10 seconds and then you say, "I don't have the foggiest idea." F. Train wrecks. There are so many ways for a school day to go wrong that it's almost impossible to list them all. You could get screamed at by a teacher, usually Mrs. Godfrey, for absolutely no reason, which seems to happen to me a lot. You can get roughed up by Chester, the school bully who looks like he spikes his chocolate milk with human growth hormone. Or your teacher could nail you with a quiz or a test you never saw coming.
Test!
Goop!
Test? Now there's a horrifying thought. Do we have a test today? I don't remember any teacher mentioning a test yesterday, but like I already told you, I don't remember much of anything they say. I usually start to lose interest right around the time I hear,
"Settle down, class."
Settle down, class, in teacher speak, means let the mind-numbing boredom begin.
Yak 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 yak. By the way, there's a test tomorrow. Yak 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 yak.
At times like this, I wish I paid better attention in class. Like Francis.
Francis! He'll know whether or not we have a test today!
Here's the thing about Francis. He knows just about everything. He's always got his nose buried in the book of facts, and he takes school pretty seriously. The truth is, he's kind of a geek. But I'm allowed to call him that because we're tight. We've known each other since the first day of kindergarten, when he started snoring during nap time. So I hit him in the head with my Thomas the Tank Engine lunchbox, and we've been best friends ever since. Francis fact. He insists on eating his lunch every day in alphabetical order. Apple, celery, sandwich, yogurt. Let me see if he's up yet. Yep, he's up. And he's reading, of course. But wait a minute. Look what he's reading. His social studies textbook. So we must have a test today. Oh, no! This is bad. This is very bad. First, because my social studies textbook is in my locker at school. And second, because I'm suddenly remembering what Mrs. Godfrey said to me after our last test.
If you do this poorly on the next test, Nate, you could very well end up in summer school. D plus.
Yipe. We've got social studies first period. That only gives me about 45 minutes to study my class notes. Class notes, class notes. Where are my class notes? Ah, here they are. Uh-oh. Well, it looks like my class notes aren't going to be much help. Not unless Mrs. Godfrey gives us extra credit for doodling. I'm dead. R.I.P. Nate Wright.
Chapter 2.
Breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Have you ever noticed that's what people always say right before they stick a bowl of lumpy oatmeal in your face?
Eat hearty!
Please let those lumps be raisins. Now Dad's rambling on about how a high-fiber diet changed his life, but I'm barely listening. I'm still freaked out about this social studies test that could land me in summer school. Summer? School. Talk about two words that don't go together. Sort of like oat and meal. Actually, I have no idea what summer school is even like. Francis thinks it's probably just like regular school, only hotter.
Public school 38. Today's temperature? 97 degrees.
But other kids say that in summer school the teachers make you work. And they're not talking about worksheets or chapter reviews. It's more like scraping gum off desks or scrubbing the toilets in the boys' locker room. Which I hope isn't true, because those toilets are totally disgusting. It sounds pretty bad.
And after this, my car needs washing.
The only kid I know who's ever gone to summer school is Chester. I guess I could ask him what it's like. Except the last time I tried to ask Chester something, he stuffed me into a garbage can. He's kind of a psycho. All I asked was, can I borrow a pencil? Whatever. The point is, summer school can't be good. I can't think of anything nastier. Suddenly, right on cue, in walks Ellen.
Good morning, Daddy. Mwah! Yummy oatmeal.
Okay, I can think of something. Someone nastier. Summer school only lasts 8 weeks. A 15-year-old sister is forever. Until she turns 16, which is probably even worse.
You're in my seat. Flick!
Sisters don't have to be teenagers to be obnoxious, though. They're pretty much born that way. If you have an older sister, you know exactly what I mean. You've been there. You feel my pain. If you don't have an older sister, congratulations! And welcome to my nightmare. Ellen fact. Every few months, she decides she doesn't like the way she laughs. So she changes it.
Ha ha ha! No, that's not right.
Top 5 most annoying things about Ellen. 5. She is constantly begging Dad to buy her a cat.
We'll name her Miss Kissykins.
4. She wears perfume that makes her smell like a gift shop full of scented candles.
This one's called Dead Skunk.
3. She got a karaoke machine for her 12th birthday, and she still hasn't outgrown it.
Love is the answer.
Kill me now. 2. All her hair care products are single-handedly destroying the ozone layer.
Who cares about global warming? Psh, psh.
1. Nobody except me realizes how completely obnoxious she is. Clueless grown-up.
Ellen, you're wonderful.
Yes, I know.
You want to know what else is annoying about Ellen? She doesn't have these types of problems. She's never had to worry about summer school because she's always been a good student, which I get reminded of practically every day.
Why can't you be more like your sister?
Right. Like, that's my goal in life. To be more like a high school cheerleader. Thanks, but no thanks. Huh? Oh, Dad's talking again.
So, what's happening at school today, you two?
We're getting back our book reports, which I know I did well on. And I'm trying out for the school musical. And I'm running for class president. And then I'm going to work. Note to self, Ed, you can't shut her up to list of annoying things about Ellen.
Nate, what's going on for you?
Who? Me? Nothing. Not a thing. It's just a normal day. No tests or anything like that. Nothing unusual. Don't think Dad really bought that. He's giving me the look. The look. Level 1 on Dad's suspicion meter. It means he's not really sure you're being straight with him. The squint. Level 2 is basically Dad's way of saying, you can't possibly be serious. The hairy eyeball. Level 3. When Dad drops a hairy eyeball on you, look out. Prepare for him to go ballistic. Dad's only at level 1 right now, but I can see where this is going. So I'd better get out of here before he asks any more questions. Zoom! Whew, that was close. He has no idea I could end up in summer school. Not unless he and Mrs. Godfrey are having secret late-night phone conversations. Ew. Time to think about something else. Trip! Wham! Wag, 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 wag! Nice spot for a nap, Spitzy. Shouldn't you be off chasing squirrels or something? Spitzy belongs to Mr. Eustace, who lives next door. And in case the doofy-looking dog sweater and giant funnel on his head didn't tip you off, Spitzy is the ultimate dog nerd. He's afraid of mailmen. He eats his own poop. And don't try throwing him a tennis ball. I did that once, and we ended up at the animal hospital getting his stomach pumped. It's a long story. But I don't want to rag on Spitzy. Spitzy's okay. After all, he's a dog, and all dogs are cool in my book. Except maybe those freaky little hairless chihuahuas. Spitzy fact. He has a crush on Francis's cat, Pickles. It must be nice to be you, Spitzy. You get to hang out all day, sleeping in the sun. You don't have to worry about hairy eyeballs, or big sisters, or teachers. And you especially don't have to worry about taking a social studies test. Wait a minute! Maybe I don't have to worry about the test either. What if I can get out of it? What if I can convince Mrs. Godfrey to let me take the test tomorrow instead of today? Then I'll borrow Francis's class notes and cram for 24 hours. That'll at least give me a chance to pass the stupid thing. How does that sound, Spitzy?
Oof!
You'll help me think of something, right?
Oof!
See, that's why dogs are so much better than cats. Cats never help you do anything. They just lie around the house, scratching up the furniture and licking themselves. Okay, brainstorm time. How can I get out of this test? Think, 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 think. It's easy coming up with a plan. The problem is, almost as soon as I do come up with a plan, I think of a reason it won't work. Plan A. Illness. As soon as the test starts, I hold my breath until my face turns all red. Then I tell Mrs. Godfrey I feel really, really sick. Why it won't work. She keeps a thermometer in her desk.
Just as I thought, 98.6.
Plan B. Injury. I wrap my hand in bandages, then tell her I can't write because I sprained my wrist. Why, it won't work. She'll make me take the test left-handed. Yep, she's that mean.
What? He didn't hurt his wrist? Very interesting.
Plan C. Tragic accident. I pretend to hit my head against the door on my way into the classroom, then act like I've got amnesia. My mind has gone blank!
Again?
Why, it won't work. I used that one 2 weeks ago. Plan D. The truth. I walk right up to Mrs. Godfrey, look her in the eye, and tell her that I didn't know there was a test today. Why, it won't work. The woman hates me. Shoot! This is getting me nowhere! I've only got 25 minutes until the test. 25 minutes until Mrs. Godfrey brings down the summer school hammer on me. School zone. No fun allowed. I glance at my watch. Now it's 24 minutes. Yikes. It's beginning to look like the only way I'll be able to avoid this test is to skip school altogether. Chapter 3. Yes! That's it! I'll skip school. I'll take the day off. I'll pretend somebody just invented a new holiday. I'll stop right here. What am I doing? Nobody gets away with skipping school at PS 38. It's impossible. Why? Two words. The machine. Not a real machine, like that funky-looking thing the janitor uses to buff up the floors. The machine isn't something you can see or touch, but it's there. The machine watches you. It knows your every move. And if you're not where you're supposed to be, the machine tracks you down. Here's how. 1. The seating chart. Teachers always tell you where to sit. They claim it helps them remember kids' names. Right, like they care what our names are. They really do it to keep tabs on you. One look at the chart, and they know right away if you're not at your desk. Then, the machine starts up. 2. The attendance sheet. Teachers write everything down. Who knows why?
We're organized.
You're control freaks. They fill out an attendance sheet in every class. If you're missing, a big red X goes next to your name. Congratulations, you're absent. 3. The classroom helper. We saw a movie about bees in science. The big fat queen bee sat around the hive doing nothing while the little drones did all the work. Sound familiar?
Peel me a grape.
Teachers are the queen bees. Guess who the drones are?
I'm looking for a classroom helper to do a very important job.
Oh!
It's always a suck-up like Gina who volunteers, because she's so desperate to earn extra credit. Good for you, Gina. I'm sure your career as a sixth-grade classroom helper will get you into some fancy-pants college.
Take this attendance sheet to the front office.
The front office. The engine that runs the machine. And right in the middle of it is 4. The school secretary. Mrs. Schipulski is not so bad. It isn't her fault they make her keep track of attendance. I also don't blame her for all the time she says, Nate, the principal will see you now. She's fast for an old lady. She looks over all those attendance sheets in no time. The second she spots that red X next to your name, she's on the phone to your parents.
Nate isn't at school.
What?
There. You see how the machine works? See how efficient it is? You can't win. There's no way to beat it. That's my predicament. If I run off to the woods to hang out with Spitzy, it'll take about 5 minutes for Mrs. Schipulski to fire up the dad hotline. Then, summer school would be the least of my problems. I'd probably get suspended. Or expelled. Maybe shipped to some military academy where they slap a uniform on you, give you a buzz cut, and make you say sir at the end of every sentence. Bzzz. That settles it. Skipping school is out. I need to be a little more creative about this. What I need is an excused absence. An excused absence means you go to school just like normal, but you've got a parent note saying that you need to be somewhere else at a certain time. Bingo! You're free. Yesterday, Alan Olquist left halfway through science because he had to go get a wart zapped. How lucky can you get? So long, suckers! Smell you later! So all I need to do is stroll into social studies with a note from Dad saying I've got an excuse. Let's say a dentist appointment. And I'm off the hook. Genius! Yeah, I know what you're thinking. I don't have a note from Dad. But I can take care of that. Dear Mrs. Godfrey, please excuse Nate from social studies at 8:45 this morning. He has a very important dentist app. Whoa. Nope, that won't cut it. That looks too much like my handwriting. Mrs. Godfrey will sniff that out right away. She may be loud and nasty, but the woman's not stupid. I've got to make it look more like a grown-up's handwriting. Like Dad's. And his is wicked messy.
Dear Mrs. Godfrey, please give me a knife and touch size. That's what I need.
Whoops. Not that messy. Even I can't read that. This is tougher than I thought it would be. And I'm running out of time. Dear Mrs. Godfrey, please excuse Nate from social studies at 8:45 this morning. He has a very important dentist appointment. Hey! That looks like the real thing. Pretty convincing. Hello, excused absence. Goodbye, social studies test. All that's left to do is forge Dad's signature. Forge Dad's signature. Let me think about this for a sec. Forge. Forgery. Yikes! Isn't forgery like a crime? Don't people get thrown in jail for signing the wrong name on a check or for using somebody else's credit card? Listen, I'm no goody two-shoes. There's a desk in the detention room with my name on it. Literally. But I'm not breaking the law. I don't want to get dragged out of PS-38 in handcuffs.
There goes the notorious Nate Wright.
The identity thief? Yowza!
This might not be such a great idea. Maybe I should just rip this thing up before somebody comes along and... Hey! Gah! Oh, man. It's only Francis. That's the downside of living next door to your best friend. He's always sneaking up behind you and invading your privacy. Not that I have anything to hide. What are you writing? Nothing. Nothing. Okay, so I've got one tiny little thing to hide. Nothing? He asks. Nothing. I shoot back. It doesn't look like nothing. Why is he acting all Sherlock Holmes on me? It looks like a letter. Okay, I'll tell you. I was forging an excuse note to get out of today's social studies test. Long, awkward pause. Francis has a weird expression on his face. One of those half-smiling, half-confused looks. He's either judging me for what I just told him, or he's about to fart. What social studies test? He says. Francis can be such a moron. I've got to remind myself sometimes how smart he is. The test I saw you studying for this morning. I wasn't studying for a test, he says. Then why were you reading your social studies textbook? Because I enjoy improving my mind. I'm going to ignore the incredibly lame statement Francis just made and focus on what he said right before that. So, there's no social studies test? There's definitely not a test. I should know because I write down everything she says. If we have a test, I would have known when I was reviewing my notes and blah, 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 blah. Yes! 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 Actually, Francis says, his eyes getting all dreamy, I sort of wish we were having a test today.
Mrs. Godfrey's essay questions are so invigorating.
Biff!
Sorry, Francis, but when you start acting like the mayor of Geek City, it's my job to knock some sense into you. You're lucky I didn't nail you with a heavier book. Bring! There's the first bell. Not exactly music to my ears, but that sick feeling in the pit of my stomach is gone. No test. No summer school. This could end up being a half-decent day after all. Hum-de-hum-de-hum-de-dum-da-dum. Shoo-tong! Got you back! Yep. Things are definitely looking up.
Chapter 4.
Hey, Nate. Taking a nap? Or are you doing the world's slowest push-up?
That's Teddy. Just ignore his lame jokes. I always do. Teddy's my other best friend. Francis is number one because I've known him longer, but Teddy is definitely 1A. He's awesome. Teddy fact. He taught me how to say Mrs. Godfrey is fat in Spanish.
Señora Godfrey es grasa. Sí.
I wasn't so sure about him at first. That's the way it is with new kids. You sort of check them out from a distance to see if they seem cool or not. You don't want to be all Joe-friendly to them right away, because what if they turn out to be total losers? Random new kid.
Would you like to see my nasal spray collection?
Me. Okay. What am I saying? With Teddy, it was tough to tell. On his first day at PS38, Principal Nichols asked me to show him around the school. Teddy was all quiet and serious. He barely said a word the whole day. I've told Teddy plenty of times since then that he seemed like a total dork. Can this kid even talk? Then he and I were paired up for a science lab. We were supposed to dissect a squid. We were about 5 minutes into it when Teddy picked up our squid and pretended it was a giant booger.
Anybody got a tissue?
It was hilarious. I started laughing. And then Teddy cracked up too. That was the first time I'd ever heard him laugh. He sounded like some sort of crazed llama. Oh, man, we lost it. We were laughing so hard that we dropped our squid on the floor. Then Mary Ellen Papowski stepped on it, which made us laugh even harder. Ew! That's when Mr. Galvin saw what was going on. Wow, was he mad? He went full Godfrey on us. Glossary. When a teacher completely snaps and starts screaming, it's called a full Godfrey. When Mrs. Godfrey does it, it's called Monday. He made us clean this squid guts off the floor. We apologized to Mary Ellen, but I guess we didn't sound sorry enough because she kept whining that her shoes smelled like dead squid. I said maybe that was an improvement over how they smelled before. Then I had to apologize to Mary Ellen again. We had detention for 2 whole weeks. You get in trouble that bad with somebody, and it changes the way you think about him. When I saw Teddy dangling that squid from his nose, I figured he was okay. And after we did all those detentions together, I knew we were going to be friends for life.
Race you guys to the flagpole.
But that doesn't mean I'm going to let him beat me to the flagpole. Ha! My turbo speed is taking over. I'm gonna win this race by a mile. Wham!
Holy cow! Principal Nichols!
This could get ugly. Principal Nichols is Mr. Discipline. He doesn't stand for any horsing around. And here I am, body slamming him on his way into the building. Stand back. He's about to explode.
I'm sorry, Nate. I wasn't looking where I was going. That was entirely my fault.
Like I was saying, Principal Nichols, what a great guy.
Are you all right?
He asks. Yeah, it didn't hurt, I tell him. You're sort of like a giant airbag. That is, you're kind of cushiony. I mean, it's not like you're all bony and stuff,
what I'm trying to say... I'll just stop talking now.
Move along, son,
says Principal Nichols, looking like son is the last thing he wants to call me. Whew, sure, I'll be happy to move along. I thought he was going to hit me with a detention for sure. Come on, guys, says Francis. Only a couple of minutes till homeroom. Hang on, I've got to put away my lunch. Click. I have sort of an organization problem. One of these days, I really need to clean out my locker. With a dump truck. Or maybe a match. But no time for that now. Let's see here. Where's my lunch? It's not here. You've gotta be kidding me! I ran out of the house so fast this morning I forgot to stick my lunch in my backpack. I groan. No problem, Teddy tells me. I've got you covered. You do? I ask. Yep, he says. We went out for Chinese food last night. I've got a ton of leftovers. Sesame chicken, spare ribs, a couple of egg rolls. Here, have a fortune cookie. A fortune cookie. I like getting my fortune told. I'm way into horoscopes and magic eight balls and stuff like that. By the way, I'm a Scorpio. That means I'm dynamic, loyal, and chock full of animal magnetism. In other words, I rock. What's your sign? But fortune cookies bug me sometimes. Fortune telling means predicting the future, right? But half the time, fortune cookies don't tell you anything about the future. They're just lame sayings. Sometimes they're boring. A large life is a series of small events. Sometimes they're stupid. Hair today, gone tomorrow. Plus, the cookies taste like styrofoam. Sometimes, like that time Dad took me and Ellen to Poo Poo Panda, they make absolutely no sense. That one was so bizarre, I drew a comic about it.
Here, kids, fortune cookies.
Ooh, mine says your wish will be granted. Ooh! And mine says, what the? An unlit candle frightens no monkeys. What does that mean? Who cares? The important thing is my fortune was good.
We may never find out what it means, Nate.
And we never did. What a ripoff. I guess you could say I've got a love-hate relationship with fortune cookies. I hardly ever get a good one, but I still can't resist cracking them open. Wow! Now that's what I call a fortune. Today, you will surpass all others. Chapter 5. I'm in an awesome mood when I walk into homeroom. Not because of homeroom. Only a total geek would get all pumped up about that.
Homeroom is my favorite part of the day!
See? It's my fortune that's great. It looked like today was gonna stink out loud, and now everything's completely turned around. What are you so happy about? Francis asks. I just got some amazing news, I tell him. Have you ever heard me say I'm destined for greatness? You may have mentioned it once or twice, or a zillion times, he says, rolling his eyes. Well, this proves it, I say, handing him the fortune. Francis reads it. He's making his constipated, I'm not so sure about this, face. Surpass all others, he says. Surpass them in what? I'm a man of many talents, I tell him. It could be anything. Francis hands me back the fortune. Not anything, he says with a smirk. We can eliminate academic achievement as a possibility. Thwack! You're a riot, Francis. Just for that, I might not include you in my posse when I get rich and famous. It'll be great to be rich. Then I can pay people to make my life easier. A chauffeur to drive me around, a brainiac to do all my homework,
Somebody to buy all my clothes, so I don't have to go to the mall and try on pants in one of those cheesy little changing rooms. I hate that. Knock, knock.
Don't come in!
And I'll get a chef. Somebody to cook me all kinds of good stuff. I'm starving right now. All I've got in my stomach is a couple of spoonfuls of lumpy oatmeal. I guess I could eat this fortune cookie. Better than nothing.
Miss Godfrey, Nate's eating something!
Gina! Oh, how I hate her.
Is this true, Nate?
Mrs. Godfrey's voice cuts right through me as she heaves herself up from her chair. Uh-oh. If Mrs. Godfrey catches you eating in class, it's an automatic detention. Pretty bogus, considering she keeps a stash of peanut butter cups in her desk. Don't ask me how I know that. I have my ways. Yikes! She's moving fast. Come on, chew! Swallow! Now! Whew! Just in time. I choke down the last few crumbs half a second before she steams up to my desk.
Open your mouth.
She says, looking long and hard.
I don't see anything. You must have been mistaken, Gina.
Tough toenails, Gina.
What? Ha! Gina's speechless. Her little plan to land me in trouble didn't work. How sweet is that?
Attention, please, for this morning's announcements.
Oh, boy. Announcements. The excitement never stops around here.
Students interested in joining the math team should see Mr. Staples.
Yeah, because I just don't have enough math in my life.
Today's lunch is beef stew, green beans, cornbread, and fruit cup.
And all four of them taste exactly alike.
If you visit the library today, wish Mrs. Hickson a happy birthday. She's 39.
In dog years.
Thank you and have a great day.
That's it. Homeroom's over. So, why am I still sitting here? Because homeroom with Mrs. Godfrey is followed by first period social studies with Mrs. Godfrey. What a brutal way to start the day. Now I know where the phrase rude awakening comes from. After social studies, there's nowhere to go but up. Here's the rest of my day. Period 2. English. Ms. Clark is okay, but shouldn't someone who teaches English actually make sense once in a while?
For a non-restrictive clause or phrase, but not for independent clauses joined by coordinating conjunctions...
Say what? Period 3. Art. This is my favorite class. Mr. Rosa is so burned out, he doesn't even bother with lesson plans. Now that's teaching.
Here's some clay. Have fun.
Period 4. Lunch. You eat as quick as you can. Then you spend the rest of the time checking out girls and throwing carrot sticks at Brad Macklin.
Stop it, you ruffians! Bonk!
Period 5. Gym. When you're playing floor hockey or dodgeball, it's awesome. When you're doing rhythmic gymnastics, you pray that nobody's around taking yearbook pictures. Period 6. Math. Here's a multiple choice question. Is math A, totally boring, B, completely useless, C, a great place to grab an afternoon nap, D, all of the above? The correct answer is, of course, D, which was also my grade on the last test. Period 7. Science. The highlight of the year was when Mr. Galvin's dentures fell out during his lecture on earthquakes. That's when I gave him the nickname Shifting Plates. I give all the teachers nicknames. I know everybody invents funny names for teachers, but I work at it. That's why I'm the official nickname czar of PS 38. A good nickname has a lot of stuff going on. One of my all-time best nicknames for Mrs. Godfrey is Venus de Silo. I got the idea from a famous sculpture called Venus de Milo. Venus was the goddess of love and beauty. Mrs. Godfrey isn't loving or beautiful. So that makes it funny. Venus is also the name of a planet. Mrs. Godfrey is a lot like a planet. She's huge, round, and gassy. A silo is filled with feed for cows. Mrs. Godfrey reminds everyone of a cow, especially when she's eating.
Moo!
And that's only one of her nicknames. I've got tons more. In fact, I can tell you exactly how many, as soon as I check my list. Godfrey nicknames. 1. Godzilla. 2. Boring.com. 3. Pass the gravy. 4. She who must not be named. 5. Dragon breath. 6. I can't believe she's not butter. 7. Dark side of the moon. 8. Extra crispy. 9. There's no place like homework. 10. Ozone. 11. Queen Kong. 12. Gas station. 13. Big Bang. 14. Animal Planet. 15. Wrecking Ball. 16. Dull-a-palooza. 17. El Guapo. 18. Pardon My Nachos. 19. Jaws. 20. Venus De Silo. 20 nicknames and counting. Not too shabby.
Ahem. I'll take that.
Nip! Yikes. Busted. She looks at the list for a long time. Her face turns red, then white. I can see her jaw muscles working. I wait for her to start shouting, but for the longest time she doesn't say a word. She just looks at me. That's worse than shouting. Finally, she speaks.
Very impressive.
She crumples up my list. Then she opens her desk drawer and pulls out a pad. I've seen that pad before. She writes something down, then hands me the slip. I notice a tiny smile at the corners of her mouth, but the rest of her looks mean.
Take this to Mrs. Zerwicki at the end of the day, she tells me.
Detention report. Student, Nate Wright. Teacher, C. Godfrey. Reason for detention? Insolence. Insolence? I say out loud. What's that?
Here's a dictionary, Mrs. Godfrey snarls. Look it up. Whoomp.
Flip, 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 flip. I bet it doesn't mean destined for greatness. Chapter 6. Insolence. Noun. 1. Contemptuously rude or impertinent behavior or speech. 2. The quality or condition of being insolent.
Turns out insolence basically means acting like a brat, I say to Francis and Teddy as we walk to English.
That sounds like you.
I'm just about to give Teddy a notebook smackdown when I remember that he's going to share his lunch with me later. I decide to be nice to him. Shut up, scrub. I stuff Mrs. Godfrey's detention slip deep into my pocket. I'm not going to let one little detention ruin my whole day, especially not after I got such an awesome fortune.
What do you guys think "you will surpass all others" means? I ask.
Probably that you got somebody else's fortune cookie by mistake.
Teddy laughs.
What is this, make fun of Nate Day?
Hold it. Hold it. It doesn't just say, you will surpass all others, Francis corrects me. It says, today you will surpass all others.
He's right. So the fortune will probably come true during school. At home, the only others for me to surpass are...
And then Cindy told me she thought Tommy liked me, but then she came in...
Dad and Ellen. Big whoop.
So, if the fortune is real, I say, I'm going to surpass all others sometime in the next 6 hours. I guess so, Francis shrugs. You'd better work fast.
Hi, Jenny. Hey, Arthur.
Hi. Hello, Peebles.
Jenny and Arthur. Excuse me while I gag. What does she see in that guy?
Besides the fact that he's funny, he's nice, and everybody likes him?
Thanks, Francis. Feel free to stop talking anytime. And by the way, not everybody likes him. I'm not exactly president of the Arthur fan club. It's not like he's a major butthead or anything. I just hate that he's so good at stuff. All the stuff I'm good at. It's so obnoxious. Arthur fact. He doesn't speak English all that great, which for some reason all the girls think is cute.
Seeing you laters.
He's so adorable.
Things were a lot better before Arthur came along. Before Arthur, I was the number one player on the chess team.
Checkmate.
Stunned expression. After Arthur, he knocked me down to number two.
Nice tries, Nate.
B.A. My comic strip was the only one in the school newspaper.
Dr. Cesspool!
By Nate. A.A. Now I have to share space with Arthur's strip.
Fish breath.
Burp.
Which is totally copied from Garfield. B.A. I was the lead singer in Enslave the Mollusk.
Who's ready to rock?
A.A. Guess what happened?
Ooh, your sweet, sweet love.
Cheesy ballad. So everybody thinks Arthur is Mr. Wonderful. I can deal with that. But when he and Jenny started going out, that killed me. Jenny fact. She and Arthur have been going out for 4 months, 6 days, and 3.5 hours. But who's counting? I met Jenny in first grade. I've liked her ever since. And I'm positive that deep down she likes me too, even though she acts like she hates me. I've always been 100% sure that someday the two of us are going to make an awesome couple. Then Arthur comes along. The next thing you know, they're acting like Romeo and Juliet all over the place. It's gross. It's sickening. It's...
Whoa. The fortune.
Today you will surpass all others. Could that have something to do with Jenny? Maybe the fortune means I'm going to surpass Arthur. Maybe Jenny dumps him and starts going out with me.
Attention, everyone. Today we'll be finishing up our poetry unit, Miss Clark announces.
I used to think poetry was just a bunch of British dudes wearing tights and writing sonnets with a peacock feather. But there's a lot more to it. Miss Clark has taught us about all kinds of poetry. We have to write our own poems in a poetry portfolio. Poetry portfolio. Nate, write. Nate, great. Date, fate. Late, mate, rate, state.
Duh. What rhymes with duh?
Doodle, oodle, noodle, strudel, poodle, caboodle. Limerick by Nate Wright. I have feasted on all sorts of noodles. I have tried an assortment of strudels. Of the foods that I've eaten, only one can't be beaten. An extra-large bag of cheese doodles. Haiku by Nate Wright. You have cheese doodles. Fresh. Crunchy. Puffalicious. Give me one right now. Ode to a Cheese Doodle by Nate Wright. I search the grocery store in haste to find that sweet lip-smacking taste. And there it is, in aisle 9. It's just $1.39. A bag of doodles most delicious. Check the label. They're nutritious. And do you know how satisfied I feel while munching doodles fried? I savor each bright orange curl until it seems I just might hurl. Their praises I will always sing. Cheese doodles are my everything. Miss Clark is still yakking away. You may write any kind of poem you like, she says. A funny poem, a serious poem, a love poem. But let's avoid any more poems about junk food, shall we? Junk food? Excuse me, but cheese doodles are not junk food. They're Y-U-M-M-Y. Hold it. Did Miss Clark say love poem? A love poem. That just might work. Jenny goes wild for that sort of thing. She was all excited about a Valentine Artur gave her last year, and that was only a lame store-bought card. I look across the room at Jenny. She's busy picking lint balls off her sweater, but there's electricity between us. I can feel it. A plan is forming in my brain. Step one, I write a love poem to Jenny, but not a sappy, mushy one. One that says, why hang out with Artur when I'm available? Step two, I slip the poem into Jenny's notebook when Artur's not stuck to her like Joe Velcro. Step three, I sit back and wait for Jenny to fall madly in love with me. You're irresistible! Why didn't I see it before? I've never written a love poem before, but how tough can it be? All I've got to do is find a few words that rhyme with Jenny. Many, Jenny, Penny, any.
Ooh! Hey, Jenny! Looks like Nate's writing you a love poem!
Gina! Why can't she mind her own stinking business? I can feel my face turning beet red. I sneak a quick peek at the other side of the room. Jenny's looking at me funny. So is Artur. Great. Leave it to Gina to ruin everything. Now my plan has exactly zero chance of working. Goodbye, love poem. Rip, 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 rip. Nate? And now here's Miss Clark. This just keeps getting better.
Is there a problem?
Problem?
Are you having trouble thinking of something to write about besides cheese doodles?
She smiles. Yeah, sort of, I stammer.
Poetry comes from the heart, Nate, she tells me. That's where you'll find something to inspire you.
Okay. I have no idea what she means, but I nod my head anyway. The whole class is staring at me. I'm like, can we just move on? Then I hear it. Nobody else does, but I do. Gina laughs. I shoot her a look. She's leaning back in her chair. She's got a nasty little smile on her face. Here I am looking like a fool in front of everyone. In front of Jenny. And Gina's loving every minute. She made this happen. This is her fault. The blood is pounding in my head. Miss Clark is saying something. I can barely hear her.
Well, Nate, what does your heart tell you?
What does my heart tell me? It tells me that Gina should keep her big fat mouth shut!